Okay, we thank everybody for joining in the weekly Thursday night Parsha Shira and the Netziv. Everybody enjoyed Yontif, and we're back, of course, now. This Shabbos is Achrimos in Chutz Laaretz, Kedoshim in Eretz Yisrael, but we're going to be sticking on a Chutz Laaretz schedule, and we're going to be learning tonight the commentary of the Netziv on Parshas Achrimos. The Parsha, of course, the main theme of the entire first half of the Parsha is the Avoda on Yom HaKippurim performed in the Mishkan originally and in the Beis HaMikdash. And interestingly, the Torah introduces the story of the all the halachos that are performed in the Beis HaMikdash, Yom Kippur. The Torah introduces, hey, Jay, nice to see you. The Torah introduces all this with the story, repeating again the story of the death, the deaths of Nadav and Avihu. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe acharei Mos shnei b'nei Aaron. Hashem spoke to Moshe after the two sons of Aaron died. Bikarvasam lifnei Hashem vayamusu. Bikarvasam lifnei Hashem vayamusu. The Netziv points out that these words in the Pasuk are extra. Obviously, we know where they died. They went into the Beis HaMikdash, but Karva Samal Fnei Hashem Vayamusu. So the Netziv adds a dimension over here. Let's take a look. Karva Samal Fnei Hashem Vayamusu, he says as follows. In the Farish, Shebal, Ashlamas, Sipor, Hasiba Shemesu. If you want to tell me that it's coming to tell me, these words, Karva Samal Fnei Hashem, is coming to tell you why they died, to complete the story of why they died, Hare miyutar tevas vayamusu. The word vayamusu is extra because look at the beginning of the pasuk. Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe acharei Mos shnei ben Aaron b'karvas Samal Fnei Hashem. Right? You know, this is a classic example, one of those stories we've read all the time. We didn't realize that word vayamusu is just totally extra. Hashem spoke to Moshe acharei Mos shnei ben Aaron b'karvas Samal Fnei Hashem. What do you need the second vayamusu for? Especially if those words are coming to tell me to explain why they died. Visukash, and furthermore, my vayidaber Hashem v'hodar vayomer Hashem. Right? What did he say? Right. Right. That's also a very strong question. In Pasuk Aleph it says, Hashem spoke to Moshe after Aaron's two sons died. And then it says, and Hashem spoke to Moshe. Why does it say Hashem spoke to Moshe again? It said Vayidaber Hashem in the first pasuk, and then it says Vayomer. Ella, Hi, Bekarvas Samal Fnei Hashem Vayamusu, Hu Hadibur Harishon. He says the first pasuk is a separate dibur in its own right. It's not, there's something being communicated in the first pasuk that's not being communicated in the second pasuk. The second pasuk is, right, tell Aaron not to come to the Beis HaMikdash, not to come to the Kodesh HaKadoshim too often. So he says this is a separate, it's a separate dibur, which is explaining to Moshe Rabbeinu not why they died, but why they died immediately. Most people don't die immediately right when they do the sin, right? And there would probably be not that much free choice in the world. If you knew, like, every time you flicked on that light on Shabbos, bzz, you got zapped by lightning, you'd be very careful. There would be very little choice. So the Netziv says that it's not telling you why they died, but it's telling you why they died right away. What do you mean? Behind Yon, he says, what does this mean? Da'af agav shemesu nadav aviyu ba'akivam eish zara. We all know, the Chumash already said in Parashat Shemini why they died. They brought fire that was not requested. It wasn't part of the normal service. They brought their own fire, which wasn't part of the normal service. And the Gemara in Yuma has a lot of other opinions. What the reason why they died was, they were drunk. They were mor halacha b'fnei rabba. All these other reasons, right? They have all these reasons. B'chalzos. The Tziv says, okay, very nice, they were supposed to die for one of those reasons. But why they die right away? That never happens to people, that you die right away on contact. Does it usually happen when a person violates an issa that's chayv misa b'di shemayim that he dies right away? You know why they died right away? Because mishum shechato am haya be'ez shekovel lefnei Hashem bepalten shel melech malchei hamelachim kadosh baruch hu. It's not so much what they did, but it's where they did it. Bikarvasam. It's not saying when it happened, it's saying where it happened. Bikarvasam. In the palace of the king. Bishamhachi pogum tekum miyad malachim maves. Akal Hashem the Moshe kol haparsha. And after that, Hashem said to Moshe the rest of the parsha. And why is this the introduction to the parsha? So that makes a lot of sense, right? Telling Moshe Rabbeinu, don't go all the time into the Kodesh HaKadoshim because it's a holy place and you need some space from the holy place. You need some distance from it. Don't be going in there all the time. Because you see, Nadav and Avihu, they went right inside and because of that, they got burned. So therefore, you got to make sure not to go inside too much. V'ha, v'hu shehiktim. V'ha shehiktim z'adib l'mamar ha'pasha. If you're not careful about the Ketores, you're going to get killed. The Gemara says in Yuma that in Bayis Sheni, all the Kohanim Gedolim were all wicked. The Gemara says they're all wicked. We just had it in the Daf Yomi a couple months ago that all of the Kohanim Gedol and Bayis Sheni were wicked, so they would play games with the Ketores. They wouldn't do it in the right way. And they would all die. But somehow, the next year, the guy took the job again, and he went in again. They didn't get the message. Year after year, the Kohanim Gedol were dying. It's the same reason. So what's the lesson from this? So I think the lesson from this is that, especially the closer you get to Kedusha, the more careful you have to be. The way we behave in our homes is not necessarily the way we're going to behave in shul, is not necessarily the way we behave like by the Aron Kodesh, or in other holy places, in a Beis Medrash. But Bekarvasam Lefnei Hashem, the closer you get, the more typically you're going to get burnt. And it's so important for us to realize that sometimes it's good to have a little bit of distance. It's good to have a little bit of distance. We're not supposed to rush all the times to run towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Think about it. The Kodesh HaKadoshim was the holiest place on earth. You would think we should send all of Klal Yisrael through the holiest place on earth. Let them at least have once a year a few minutes in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. I think in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of people, there's a movement like, they all want to go up on the Har HaBayis. Everyone wants to go up on Har HaBayis. That's a question. Is that really appropriate? Should everybody be running to go there? I have a friend. A friend's a very, very firm guy. Lives in Israel. He's actually also a cousin of mine. He told me he once went up on the Har HaBayis. He says, I can't describe to you the feelings I had on Har HaBayis. It was like overwhelmed. It was like you could feel it. That's what he said. You could feel a whole different vibe there. He said, I was like shaking as I was up there. So in Yiddishkeit, you know, we have to know our place and not necessarily always rush in to get so close. We have to keep our distance sometimes from holy people, from holy places. We have to treat it with respect. You know, it's not, if you go all the time, if you visit the Kotel every single day, it's not going to be special. You know, so that's a little bit of the trade-off here. Nadav and Avihu, they because they came in so close, so that's why they got nailed right away. Let's continue. So one of the first avodas that the Kohen Gadol would do is v'shachar es parachatos asher lo. So again, this is we read this pasuk a billion times in Yom Kippur, and there are words here that are a little extra than the Netziv points out. This is one of the Netziv's hallmark. Right? He's always pointing out these extra letters, extra words, like many of them before. Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'kriv Aaron es parachatos shelo tezayin Yud Aleph. V'kriv Aaron es parachatos shelo v'chiber b'dor hazeh v'shachar es parachatos asher lo. He shechted the sin offering, the bull, asher lo, that's his. What do you mean he shechted the carbon that's his? Should he have shechted the carbon that belongs to somebody else? Why is the Torah highlighting that he shechted the carbon asher lo? So the Netziv has a short but very beautiful comment here on asher lo. He says, Pirish HaKosov, Hatam shemitzvah sheyishchot ba'atzmo mishum dehu shelo. What the pasuk means by saying shelo is because it's his karban, he should be the one to shecht it. Even though, really, most of the avod in the Beis Hamikdash was done by Kohanim. And it didn't have to be done by him. He could appoint not only a Kohen to shecht on his behalf, he could appoint another Yisrael to shecht on his behalf. But no, V'shachad es parachatas asher lo. V'chol karban mitzvah lebailim sheyishkatu ba'atzma gedizim b'psachim dav zayin. We have this idea that it's better for you to shecht your own karban than to have somebody else shecht the karban for you. Unless you're like scared of the blood. I don't know. But if you can handle it, then you are supposed to do it. Elamayat the Pesach the Kodshim, Michael Lemeimar, Vachanami Mitzvah Min HaTorah Sheishu Ba'atzmo, Avagav She'enu Avoda, even though Shechita is not part of the Avoda, the Kasher B'Diavad B'Shechita Sacher, and it's Kasher B'Diavad for somebody else to Shecht. But L'chatchila, you're supposed to Shecht your own carbon. And the question is why? Why is it so important that you shecht your own carbon? So I think the answer is obvious, and that is that anything in Yiddishkeit that you could get your hands dirty with yourself, it's better for you to get your hands dirty with it yourself than to have somebody else do it for you. We have a rule generally in the Gemara that has mitzvah bo yosem mibishlucho. Today in Shira I was talking about the mitzvah, the din of shomea ka'ona. Shomea ka'ona means that when I hear somebody else, it's like I said, I can be yoytzer with somebody else. But all the mefarshim always say, yes, shomea ka'ona is a halachic loophole, maybe not a loophole, it's a halachic principle that works, but it's better to say it yourself as opposed to being yoytzer late. Now, the Sfaradim have a little bit of a different approach. The Sfaradim, if you ever daven by the Sfaradim, so they have one person leading, and everybody's like sort of muttering along to themselves, but it's really more one person leading. But there's this idea of mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho, that it's always l'chatchila, it's better. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that if a person is not going to be able to start Shmoneh Esrei by the time the Chazan gets up to Kedusha, he should wait and say Kedusha. Even though there's a halacha that if you're in the middle of your Shmoneh Esrei, you could stop and listen to Kedusha and you be yotze. That's the way we paskin. But it's better to not do that. It's better to answer Kedusha with the tzibur, not rely on that. Because Hashem wants us to get our hands dirty with Yiddishkeit. He wants us to get involved. He wants us to do. Not just to be passive and sit back and let somebody else be mitzvah me in my mitzvah. So that's why, v'shachad es parachatos asher lo. It's your karban. Make it yours. Get involved. It's your mitzvah. Don't punt the mitzvah off on somebody else that could be your mitzvah. Let's continue. So, towards the end of the first Aliyah, after describing much of the avoda of Yom Kippur, pasuk in Perek Tezayin, pasuk Tezayin, it talks about the sprinkling of the blood and the shechting of the Sirachatas, Hasher La'am. And he goes back inside and sprinkles the blood again. The whole story with all the avod. And at the conclusion, in Tezayin, Tezayin, 16:16, Torah says as follows, V'chiper al HaKodesh mitumos b'nei Yisrael, u'mipishayem l'chol chatosam, and via this avod on Yom Kippur, the Kohen will atone in the Beis HaMikdash from all the tumas of Klal Yisrael. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Why does it say tumas of Klal Yisrael? We'll get to that. U'mipishayem l'chol chatosam, all of their sins. V'chein yaseh l'ol moed, and he will do this similarly in the Ol Moed, Hashochen itam b'soch tamosam. he that dwells with them even amongst their tumah. So the Netziv is going to point out, isn't it interesting why the pasuk here highlights dafka, the Ol Moed, the Kodesh. V'chiper ala Kodesh sounds like it's not the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's the Kodesh. The Ol Moed is the area outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So let's see the Netziv's take on this pasuk. Hashochein itam besoch tum osam. Perk design, pasuk design. Hashochein itam besoch tum osam. He says like this. Now, sometimes the text that we have on Sfaria is not the same text that you have in the Hamikdash. So if the text varies, you'll just let me know. But I'm reading from the original. Hashochein itam besoch tum osam. Hadrash yodua b'toras konim. So there's a famous medrash on this pasuk. Everybody knows. Hashem dwells with us even amidst our tumah. Hashochein itam besoch tumosam. Even though we have tumah, we're balei aveira, we have all kinds of tumahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dwelling with us in down here on this world, even within our tumah. Drash yedua, uvigamar yuma, she'afagav shem tumeim, shechina shruya b'neim. Even though we're tumah, amazingly, Hashem's Shechina dwells amongst us. But the Netziv says, I'd like to delve into this idea a little bit deeper. And the Netziv says, this matter requires explanation. This idea of Hashem dwelling with us within our tumah, why is that specifically connected to the Ohel Moed and the Kodesh as opposed to the Kodesh HaKadoshim? And he has an incredibly original and a creative explanation here. And this is in line with explanations that he's been given all along. It's connected to many ideas that he shared previously. But he brings it here in a very creative kind of a reference. So let's see what he says. Achein, kvar nisbar b'parshas Tetzaveh. I already explained this to you in Parshas Tetzaveh. Uvekama makomos, and many other places, and we can testify about this because we've been hearing this idea many, many times. Basically, the Netziv highlights the idea that there are different types of Torah study. The Netziv was very into Torah study. He was a Rosh Hashiva. Rosh Hashivas tend to be into Torah study. That's what they do. He's very into Torah study. But he says there's different kinds of Torah study. There's the Torah study that is exemplified by the Aron that's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And there's the Torah study that's exemplified by the menorah that was in the Kodesh. And interestingly, he says the Aron refers to the Torah Shebichsav, or the simple Torah Shebal Peh, the straight up halacha, the stuff that doesn't require too much analysis. But the menorah, the light of the menorah that you had to beat it, you had to beat the olives and beat it and grind it up to produce that oil for the menorah. The menorah simplified also wisdom, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, right? Harot HaShayachim Yajim. But that wisdom was the wisdom that came to the Jewish people through analysis and through thinking and through delving deep, and not just the simple Torah, the Torah Shebichsav, or the simple Torah Shebichsav, but it was through analysis. Let's read it inside. He says, I already explained to you, Dekoach HaTorah Sheba'aron, Hayol Torah Shebichsav, Oyol Torah Shebapeh, Lohoros Halacha L'maisa, the simple, straightforward, bottom line halacha, without much discussion, without much analysis, the bottom line halacha. What do I need to do, Rabbi? Lohoros Halacha L'maisa B'svara, V'dimu Milsa L'Milsa, by comparing cases, K'disim Bava Basra, Kol HaTorah Kula Dimu Midamin Allah. Gemara says in Bava Basra, that the way to learn Torah is to compare different cases to different things and come out with the bottom line halacha. Avalo, but the Aron did not symbolize, and the Netziv is saying not only symbolize, but it helped. The Aron was like the source of the power that the people have to study Torah Shebichsav and the simple, straightforward halacha to know what to do. Avalo l'kach chidush halacha. But not the type of Torah learning where there's analysis and philosophizing and delving and categorizing and learning bi'iyun like you do in a yeshiva. Right? Balabatim tend to learn the bottom line halacha. But in a yeshiva, you study. So the Netziv says, that's not represented by the Aron. That's represented by the menorah. Avalo lekach chidush halacha ba mitoch hapilpul, the analysis, v'hechreach. Ulezer prada ora menorah shebehecha mesayeh. For that type of learning, that was the menorah that was in the outer room and not the aron that was in the inner room. V'aktoris ba lahaskir koch k'milas chasodim, the mizbeach hazov, which they were marked here, the incense, that came to remind us of the power of k'milas chasodim, shenidras lahachzakas koch hapilpul, that was needed to support the rabbis, like I wrote in Tetzav, v'gam ha-shulchan ba l'shef ha-parnasa, the shulchan comes to bring with it blessings of parnasa, b'shul ha-chzakas lomdei Torah, to support those people learning Torah, k'mosh k'saf, like I wrote already. Me'ata muvan, says the Netziv, now we can understand the pasuk very well. Me'ata muvan, demerameis lanu, this pasuk is coming to hint to us. He says the koach of the kedusha in the kodesh hakadoshim is only when Klai Yisrael merits it. Umishim hachi bebayis sheni in the second base hamikdash shalohaya taras Yisrael b'shleimus nedar ha'aron, when Klai Yisrael were not at a very high level, so the aron was not there in bayis sheni. The aron was not there; it got buried. It was one of the five kalim that were not there. But the sanctity of the analysis of Torah, whose force comes from the outside part of the base, that's there with Klai Yisrael forever. And that is even when we're not doing the right thing so much, but as long as we're doing that, even though we're Tameh, that's going to cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence to be with us even during the Tumah. And it is on this portion of Torah, it says in the Gemara, Brachas, Ein Divrei Tumah Mekabel Tumah, Shneimar, Haloko Dvarai Ke'esh. Just like fire is not Mekabel Tumah, so too, the Divrei Torah is not Mekabel Tumah. So that's why this Pasuk, which is talking about God dwelling with us even when we're sinners, is a reference to the type of Torah study that keeps the Jewish people going. And this is a very profound idea that the Netziv talks about all the time. And the Netziv feels very strongly that what kept the Jewish people running, what kept the Jewish people going through years and years of persecution of Golus. Today's Yom HaShoah. What kept the Jewish people? How did we survive? How did we survive? We survived because we had a Torah. We had a woman here speaking here today, Bobby Wahlberg. She came here, spoke to all the kids. Unbelievable. She's Bliya in Hara. Not in her low 90s anymore. She's already in her mid 90s. And she spoke to the boys about her family and how strong her family's faith was and her family's and what got her through the Holocaust is, even though things were crazy, she had her total bitachon and trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the bracha of the vision Tzarebi that got her through, and a miracle that happened with her sister that she had a surgery when she was a kid, so her sister recognized her, and when Mengele appointed her to go left, and Mengele's girlfriend was joking around, and Mengele turned around for a second, her sister pulled her out and pulled her to the right, and now she has all these children and grandchildren. But she talked about, my message to you boys, she talked about the message to the boys, is that what's going to sustain you through life is the study of Torah. What's going to sustain you through life is living the life of Torah. That's what has sustained the Jewish people. So says the Netziv, Hashocheni tam besoch tum osam. When is God going to remain with us? That's going to be dafka ba'ol moed. That comes from the koach of the menorah of the Torah study, of the creative original lishma Torah study that only comes from the ol moed. Vahu. The Hasha Udiyan Al-Kasif Khan calls that Bavodas Yom HaKippurim. Yeah, what is that? What does all this have to do with the Avodah Yom Kippur? That Torah study sustains us through all the generations. This type of creative, original, analytical Torah study is what keeps the Jewish people going. What does that have to do with Avodah Yom Kippur? Melamdeinu Das. She Yom HaKippurim Hu Yom Milchama Li Yisrael Sari Malash HaMekach Kim Harbay Al Yisrael.
He says, Yom Kippur is the day that in the heavens the angels of the nations of the world do battle with the angels of the Jewish people, asking and beseeching God to destroy the Jewish people. That's what happens in Yom Kippur. Like the Medrash, famous Medrash, Mayukah Rabbah. Kimvur b'Medrash Mayukah Rabbah, la'pasak, l'dovet Hashem ori, mikan v'elchim, tokum alai milchama, b'zos ani boteach. And the Mepharshim explain on the pasuk, b'zos yavo Aaron, b'zchus ha-Torah, d'chsev, b'zos ha-Torah. With what power would Aaron go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? B'zos yavo Aaron. With the power of zos ha-Torah. It's dafka the koach of the Torah Shebaal Peh, of the Milchama, the Milchamta Shel Torah that keeps HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence amongst us, even besoch tomosam, even when we are feeling the defilement. Like I've written many times in my commentary, that the Netziv holds that the power of the study of Torah is the sword of the Jewish people in fighting all of their battles. Actually, in the notes over here, he quotes a Svarno, Becharbi uvekashti. That's a reference to Torah Tfila. Becharbi uvekashti. Or when Yaakovina says, and he says, "V'udienu akos of kancha koach ol moid mashkan hashmi misafim mitzvah kumosam kumosh kasafdi." Right. V'od I right. Uvasher sheneged, and one more line. Uvasher sheneged zuchus haTorah hamigin al Yisrael. And he says, opposite the zuchus of the Torah that defends the Jewish people. Yesh avon loshen hara lekanter, and what takes away our protection? That's the sin of loshen hara, speaking negatively. Kedisa b'medrash rabba, you made David hayahari Torah mikol makom ayotzel mukham v'noflin. Medrash rabba says in the days of David there was a lot of Torah, and they would go out to war and they would die at war. Aydei shahayu behem dil turin, because they had people speaking loshen hara. This is a long medrash. So that's why the next pasuk talks about the ketores, and take a look at the next pasuk. Mishom hachik siv kan achar zevichi per bado ulfi adrash koyalak ketores shemechaperas haloshen hara. That the ketores atones for the sin of loshen hara, and that's why it's right in the next pasuk. He quotes down here in the notes of Gemara in Yuma Daf Mem Dalad. What's a kapara that's equal for him and his house and his brothers, the Kohanim, for all the Jewish people? That's the Ketores. Ask the Gemara, does Ketores really atone? Yes. Tani Rab Chananya, Lamanu l'Ketores mi shemechapera, shenemar, vayitin es haketores vayechapera lo'om. V'tana devei Rabbi Yishmael, alma Ketores mechaperas. What does the Ketores atone for? Aloshen hara. Yavodov shebechashai. Ketores is, it happened in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Nobody would see it happening. It was in private. And it should atone for an act that's done in private. Most people, when they speak Lashon Hara, they whisper behind people's backs. So the act of the Ketores that happens in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur should atone for the Lashon Hara. So anyway, again, the Netziv talks all the time about the power of Torah. All of us, I'm sure, can relate to the power of Torah in our families. The power of Torah to continue the traditions of our heritage, and it keeps HaKadosh Baruch Hu connected to our families. And the Netziv sees all of this in the following words: V'chiper al HaKadosh mitumas meYisrael, v'chein yaseh le'ol moed hashochein itam besoch tumosam. It's from the ol moed, the menorah, as opposed to the aron that keeps Klal Yisrael going. Let's continue. Oh. The next piece. The next piece he speaks about, this is going on the Pasuk HaEzra. Where is that Pasuk? It's towards the very end of the Avod on Yom Kippur. Let's find the Pasuk. HaEzrach v'Hagera Gor B'Sochachem. Here it is. Here it is. Perek Tezayin Pasuk Chavtes. At the end of the Avodah, Va'isa lachem l'chukas olam achodesh ashvi b'asa lachodesh on Yom Kippur, tanu es nafshoseichem, you should afflict yourselves, v'chol malach losasu ha'ezrach, v'hager gar b'sochem ha'ezrach. Who's the Ezrach? The citizen. Ha'ezrach, and not only the citizen, even the ger. So the Netziv is bothered by that. First, he quotes the Gemara in Sukkah, Pirshu B'Sukkah, the Ezrach Gavri Masha means men. But we learn HaEzrach, even the women. Even for Tosefes Yom Kippur. V'yishlavin. Lamai Pirshu because of HaEzrach V'Hager. Why did he need to tell you that both the Ezrach and the Ger need to observe Yom Kippur? I mean, just leave it all out and you know that everyone needs to observe Yom Kippur. D'Himasha D'Ikar Asar Shachis Yosef B'Ezrach. It sounds like the Ezrach and the Gerim and the women are like added in extra. But the main Avod of Yom Kippur is the men. The citizens. Why is that true? Lo lichtov klal, umemela kol b'chlal. It shouldn't have specified anything. And memela, we would have known that everybody's included. Why did I have to say Ezrach v'Hager? That the Ezrach and the Ger are both Chayiv and Yom Kippur. So he has a beautiful idea over here. Alchein l'fi masher Ramaz lano akos l'el pasuk tezayin shi yom ha-kippur yom milchama l'Yisrael. But we mentioned earlier that Yom Kippur is a day of a war. What's the war? It's the war between the nations of the world and Klai Yisrael. There's a very famous medrash that says that in Vayikra, a very famous that the Jewish people and the nations of the world go to war on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah and Kippur will go into war. In other words, that the nations of the world are petitioning God that we should be destroyed. And we don't know who wins until on Sukkot, 5 days later, the Jewish people come with their lulav, with their lulavs raised. It's like the sword is raised in the air. That's a proof that we won. We won the court case. We won the court case. So the Netziv relates to that particular medrash, and he says as follows. Achein l'fi mashe ramaz lan akas l'el pasuk design. Shiyom ha'kabur yom l'cham l'yisrael. V'zeh borer. She'ein melcham din shal sari yom ha'olim kol yachid m'yisrael. The angels of the nations of the world have no beef with individual members of Klal Yisrael. It's not the individual Jews that bothers them. It's the nation as a whole. D'mal ha'enim yachid v'su d'imkein hechiz par l'ach chazab medish rabba. If it's really about the individuals, how does the raising of the lulav prove that we won? No individual knows. No individual knows whether he was judged favorably or not on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So if it's the war against the individual, then how in the world does an individual know that we won? Ein adam yode adino. Ela hamelchamim klal kiyama uma. The war that the nations of the world have with on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur with the Jewish people is not with the individual Jews; it's with the nation as a whole. Shu neged ha'teva abriya. The fact that the Jewish people still exist is against nature. It's against nature. There's no other nation that has survived this long. Ve'ein mazal Yisrael. The Jewish people do not follow the typical progression of the normal, natural order of things. Ein mazal Yisrael. It's not an issue of mazal. It's not put in the bria. V'rak hashkachas Hashem sheba al pi Torah v'avod u'gmilas chasad mekayimam. It is only HaKadosh Baruch Hu watching over us. I've said many times, I think Rav Yaakov Emden writes in the introduction to one of his svarim, I've said it many times, that the greatest miracle in the history of the world is the survival of the Jewish people. With all the people who hate us, and all the people who want to kill us, and Yom HaShoah, and all the people who want us. But as Mrs. Wahlberg said today, they wanted to kill us all out. They're never going to do that. They can never do that. And that's what it means that we walk out on Sukkos with our lulav held high in the air. Because even though an individual doesn't know whether he was judged favorably or not, Klal Yisrael has a right to assume that as a nation, we were certainly judged favorably. We're always going to survive. We're always going to win that.
Either
destroy them or let them become like all the other nations of the world. Says the Netziv. There's a harchev davar here which you don't have in front of you. Pasuk in Halel, afafuni chevle maves, that they want to kill us. Mitzareisha ol mitzauni, they want us to be like all the other goyim, to go down to Gehenim. Tzarav yagonim tsa, they want me to find tsara or yagon. This is the fight. This is the fight with the nations. Avavanachna b'shem Hashem naskir. We uvetuchim Hashem itano. God's with us. He's gonna protect us. Valzeh nichus abris emosha. I think you don't have this part. You don't have this part. Valzeh. Nichnas a bris in Moshe achar egel, like I wrote in Parashat Shmos, Hashem made a covenant with Moshe; he's never going to destroy the Jewish people after the egel. But there's pain in the world because there's a court case, and that's why we have to fast. That's why we have the fast of Yom Kippur. It's interesting, the notes on the bottom of the Netziv point out that the Netziv understands that the main avod of Yom Kippur is not so much on individuals as individuals, but the avod of Yom Kippur is Klal Yisrael as a nation. There's many proofs to this idea. That the main point, that's why on Yom Kippur we say in the beginning of Yom Kippur, Matir Manu L'Spalim Havar Yonim. We allow even the sinners to come to shul because it's about having everybody there. It's about all of Klal Yisrael. That's why we're all like angels. We have Achdus. Women aren't really warriors. So therefore the Geirim also don't fight. It's only the Ezrach. So that's why the Pasuk says Ha Ezrach. Everyone's got a fast because everyone has their own averus that they have to atone for. That's why it talks about the men, the citizens, because they represent the battle that Klal Yisrael has. I think the important lesson here is that, and we've spoken about this many times, that even though individuals are not necessarily guaranteed to live for, they're not going to live forever, and they're not even going to necessarily always be forgiven, always atoned. But Klal Yisrael as a whole, we are always going to survive. Klal Yisrael as a whole, we just went through Pesach, we just are involved now in Sfiras HaOmer, a time when we work on our peoplehood, we work on not speaking Lashon Hara, we spoke about we work on being, seeing the good in people and not repeating the sin of Rabbi Akiva's students, who were lo nagu kavod zeh bazeh, they didn't hold each other with proper respect. So the Netziv is explaining over here that's why the Torah says ha ezrach. The ezrach has the primary role on Yom Kippur because it's about the nation. Yom Kippur is about being a nation. I gotta earmark this for Yom Kippur drasha. This is good stuff for Yom Kippur Josh about. We've spoken about this on Yom Kippur before, about how, right, that's why Rabbi Akiva, we're going to speak about Rabbi Akiva in a minute, how he gave a mushal for how the purity of Yom Kippur works, like a mikvah. Right? Ashrecha Yisrael lefnei mi atem mitar, ma mikvah mitar satmeim, avakosh brok mitar satmeim. By a mikvah, if one little pinky is outside the mikvah, doesn't work. So many explain that if there's one member of Klal Yisrael who's not in with us, it's got to be everybody together. Okay, there's a lot more to say as usual, but we're going to have to just close with one piece. Well, there's tons here, okay. Well, okay, so we'll try to do a few little pieces here. So the next piece, famous pasuk, Ki vayom hazeh yichapar aleichem l'tahir eschem kol chatoseichem. So many have already pointed out, Soloveitchik has a famous drasha about this, kapara and tahara, that there's forgiveness for the sin and then there's purifying. Ki vayom hazeh yichapar aleichem, he will atone for us l'tahir. Says the Netziv, similar idea, l'tahir eschem mishum. Sheyesh avonos, there are some sins. Shemulvad, hachet, odhei metamimus hanefesh. Aside from the avera, the sin of committing the sin, that's bad enough. But they also defile you. Kimo macholos asuros. Hakem b'shemim sheyol gam latayr eschem. Yom Kippur not only removes the X, not only removes the sin, but also purifies you from the defilement that the sin wrought. The defilement. So it's important to know, again, he's talking about machalos asuros, that you know why machalos asuros, they contaminate, because when you eat shreif, when you eat them, it doesn't have a good heksher, so mamish goes into your body, so like it has a greater impact than something that's external to your body. But aside from that, we know there's a concept called that any sin defiles a person. We have the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Avera goreres avera. One sin causes another sin to happen. How does that work? Why is avera goreres avera? Because what happens? Person sins. Once you sin, the sin defiles you. Once you defile, you're on a lower level. Once you're on a lower level, you're more apt to sin. So it's avera goreres avera. That's what the Mishnah says, because sin defiles. And so the Tziv is saying that Yom Kippur not only erases the sins, it also picks a person up and it purifies a person as well. And at the next piece, he talks about how a person should purify himself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to purify him. Let's close with these last couple of short pieces here. Now, we know that the second half of the parasha talks all about the illicit sexual relationships, arayos, right? Kemase eretz Mitzrayim, sheyishavdim alo yisasu, ukemase eretz Kenana, don't do v'chugsem lo selechem. Ish, v'nei Yisrael, lo sikru legalos erva. Right? Ish kol shevso, right? Ervas avicha, ervas imechalos kalei, all the stuff we've been learning in Yevamos. All the yummy stuff we've been learning in the Daf Yomi. Oh. Now why does this, let's look at Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Aleph. Yud Ches Aleph. Okay, Pasuk Beis. Dara v'yisam matlem, ani Hashem Elokeichem. Don't do Gilui Arayos. Ask the Netziv, what in the world does Ani Hashem Elokeichem have to do with don't do Gilui Arayos? Why specifically does these sins have to be introduced by Ani Hashem Elokeichem? It should be like that by anything. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, don't eat treif. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, don't be Michal Shabbos. Why dafka over here by Arayos Ani Hashem Elokeichem? So look at the Netziv's take on this. Hikdem loma came bezeh haparsha biyichud. Masha enikin mechol haparshios. The matzo izeh haloshen achar hazhara. Aval kan hikdem mitchila. In other parshas, something to have it at the end. But here it's in the beginning. Ba'asher parsha shal arayos inyan kosha hayo lekabel. Says the Netziv, it was very hard for the Jewish people to accept the rules of arayos. Why? Neged hergelim ad matan Torah. What was the world like before matan Torah? Before matan Torah, you could sleep with anybody who you wanted. That's the way it was. The Rambam says, kodam matan Torah, a person would just meet somebody in the marketplace if they wanted to. They would sleep together and be married. That was it. And you could really have relations with whoever you wanted to. Chediza b'Shabbos. Te kaimel anshalo kiblu parashizu el b'ktata. They only accepted these laws with fights. They weren't happy. I am Hashem, your God. I know what's good for you. You have to accept the laws, even the ones that are very hard to keep, like Arayos, which they weren't used to.
Go against nature.
And the next pasuk we learn about how in certain lands, this was the minhag, so it made it even more happy, more hard for them. So, I think the lesson of this last idea is that, yes, it's not always so easy to be a Jew. There are plenty things in Yiddishkeit, that are very, very hard for a person to keep. It's not always easy, and it's not supposed to be easy, because nothing that's worth anything ever came to a person easy.
Ani Hashem Elokechem, Kamasa Eretz Mitzrayim, Asher Yishavtem Alosasu.
Arayos is difficult. The Gemara says, Rubam Begezel, Umiyutam Ba'arayos, V'kulam Ba'avak Lashon Hara. It's a big challenge to be totally 100% honest when it comes to money. It's a big challenge to be totally 100% clean when it comes to Gilui Arayos. To not look at things we're not supposed to look at. To not think things we're not supposed to think. It's a big challenge. Avak Lashon Hara, for sure. Ani Hashem Elokechem, says the Netziv. I'm Hashem your God. I know what's best for you. I know the rules you're supposed to keep. It's difficult. You got to do it anyway. That's why the words Ani Hashem Elokechem are the introduction to the parsha of Arayos. So we learned a whole bunch of things tonight. The Netziv is beautiful. Commentary on Parshas Achrimos. We learned about not getting too close to holiness because you might get burnt. We learned about mitzvah bo yosin b'mishlucho, getting your own hands dirty with your own service. We learned that the secret of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina is amongst Klal Yisrael, even b'zman bayis sheni, when there was no Aron, was because there was a menorah, and that symbolizes the Talmud Torah, the deep analytical study that has kept Klal Yisrael going throughout all the years. And that the war that the nations of the world have with us on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is not with individuals, but rather with the nations, and we fight that war with the study of Torah that has kept the Jewish people strong. And that's why the Torah highlights Ha'ezrach. Yom Kippur is particularly, is the time that the entire community of the Jewish people comes together as one to, and that's why Achdus and being one unified community, that's why you have to ask Mechila of people before Yom Kippur. You have to ask Mechila because the Achdus and the unity is so crucial then. So, I want to thank everyone for coming and hope that we'll have a beautiful, enjoyable, wonderful Shabbos and hope to see you again, Bez Hashem, next Thursday night. Thank you.